Presumption. There are those who have a reckless spirit which they term courage and bravery. They needlessly place themselves in scenes of danger and peril, which exposes them to temptations, out of which it would require a miracle of God to bring them unharmed and untainted. Satan's temptation to the Savior of the world to cast himself from the pinnacle of the temple was firmly met and resisted. He quoted a promise of God as security, that he might with safety do this on the strength of the promise. Christ met this temptation with Scripture. It is written, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." The only safe course for Christians is to repulse the enemy with God's word. Satan urges men into places where God does not require them to go, presenting Scripture to justify his suggestions. The precious promises of God are not given to strengthen man in a presumptuous course, or for him to rely upon when he rushes needlessly into danger. God requires us to move with an humble dependence upon his providence. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. In God is our prosperity and our life. Nothing can be done prosperously without the permission and blessing of God. He can set his hand to prosper and bless, or he can turn his hand against us. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. We are required, as children of God, to maintain the consistency of our Christian character. We should exercise prudence, caution, and humility, and walk circumspectly toward them that are without. Yet we are not in any case to surrender principle. Our only safety is in giving no place to the devil, for his suggestions and purposes are ever to injure us and hinder us from relying upon God. He transforms himself into an angel of purity, that he may, through his specious temptations, introduce his devices in such a manner that we may not discern his wiles. The more we yield, the more powerful will be his deceptions over us. It is unsafe to controvert or to parley with him. For every advantage we give the enemy, he will claim more. Our only safety is to reject firmly the first insinuation to presumption. God has given us grace through the merits of Christ sufficient to withstand Satan and be more than conquerors. Resistance is success. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resistance must be firm and steadfast. We lose all we gain if we resist today only to yield tomorrow. The sin of this age is disregard of God's express commands. The power of influence in a wrong direction is very great. Eve had all that her wants required. There was nothing lacking to make her happy, but intemperate appetite desired the fruit of the only tree God had withheld. She had no need of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, but she permitted her appetite and curiosity to control her reason. She was perfectly happy in her Eden home by her husband's side, but, like restless modern Eves, she was flattered that there was a higher sphere than that which God had assigned her. Eve, in order to climb higher than her original position, fell far below it. This will most assuredly be the result with the Eves of the present generation if they overlook a cheerful taking up of their daily life duties in accordance with God's plan. There is a work for women even more important and elevating than the duties of the king upon his throne. They may mold the minds of their children and shape their characters for usefulness in this world, that they may become sons and daughters of God. Their time will be valued as too important to be passed in the ballroom or in needless labor. There is enough labor necessary and important in this world of need and suffering without wasting precious moments for ornamentation or display. Daughters of the heavenly king, members of the royal family, will feel a burden of responsibility to attain to a higher life, that they may be brought into close connection with heaven and work in unison with the Redeemer of the world. Those who are engaged in this work will not be satisfied with the fashions and follies which absorb the mind and affections of women in these last days. If they are indeed the daughters of God, they will be partakers of the divine nature. Their souls will be stirred with deepest pity, as was their divine Redeemer's, as they see the corrupting influences in society. They will be in sympathy with Jesus Christ to work in their sphere, as they have ability and opportunity to save perishing souls, as Christ worked in his exalted sphere for the benefit of man.
A neglect on the part of woman to follow God's plan in her creation, by reaching for important positions she is not qualified of God to fill, leaves vacant the position that she could fill to acceptance. In getting out of her sphere, she loses true womanly dignity and nobility. When God created Eve, he designed that she should possess neither inferiority nor superiority to the man, but in all things should be his equal. The holy pair were to have no interest independent of each other, and yet each had an individuality in thinking and acting for themselves. But after Eve's sin, as she was first in the transgression, the Lord told her that Adam should rule over her. She was to be in subjection to her husband, which was a part of the curse. The curse, in many cases, has made the lot of woman very grievous and life a burden. God has given superiority to man, which he has, in many respects, abused in exercising his arbitrary power. Infinite wisdom devised the plan of redemption, which placed the race on a second probation by giving him another trial. Satan uses men as his agents to lead those who love God to presumption. Especially is this the case with those who are deluded by spiritualism. The spiritualists generally do not accept Christ as the Son of God, and they lead many souls to presumptuous sins through their infidelity. They even claim superiority over Christ, as did Satan in contest with the Prince of Life. Spiritualists whose souls are dyed with sins of a revolting character and whose consciences are seared dare to take the name of the spotless Son of God in their polluted lips and blasphemously unite his most exalted name with the vileness which marks their own polluted natures. Men who bring in these damnable heresies will dare those who teach the Word of God to enter into controversy with them. And some who are teaching the truth have not had the courage to withstand the challenge from this class, who are marked characters in the Word of God. Some of our ministers have not had the moral courage to say to these men, God has warned us in His Word in regard to you. He has given us a faithful description of your character and the heresies you hold. Some of our ministers, rather than to give this class any occasion to triumph or charge them with cowardice, have met them in open discussion. But in discussing with spiritualists, they do not meet merely the man, but Satan and his angels. They place themselves in communication with the powers of darkness and encourage evil angels about them. Spiritualists desire to give publicity to their heresies, and ministers who advocate Bible truth are helping them to do this when they consent to engage in discussion with them. They improve opportunities to get their heresies before the people, and in every discussion with spiritualists, some will be deceived by them. The very best course for us to pursue is to let them alone.